You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
Today's scripture lesson is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 200. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to all his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Our gospel lesson this morning picks up in the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 38, where Jesus visits the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've always loved puzzles. Jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles, really anything. I don't claim to be particularly good at any of them, but I've always loved them. When I was a kid, the only good thing about going to the doctor's office was the Highlights magazine. You remember that? It would have all sorts of puzzles all throughout it, and my favorite was the finding the pictures in the picture. There would be a picture of like two kids on a swing set, but then you'd have to find all these other things, like there would be a sandcastle in the tree, or one of the fence posts would really be a rake. Now, my mom had very strict rules about that. We were only allowed to point at the things in the Highlight magazine and keep track of what we had found. And I was always furious when I got to the doctor's office to realize that apparently not all kids played by those rules. And I'd open up the Highlights magazine and every single thing is already circled. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to get a shot and I don't get the puzzle and this is just a double whammy. But I love all kinds of puzzles, like the ones where there'd be, at least when I was a child, two drawings. Photos weren't as easy to manipulate as they are now. So there'd be two drawings that upon first glance seemed like they were the exact same drawing, but then they would tell you that there are seven differences in the drawings, and you'd have to go and try to figure out what they were, like, one of the ladybugs had six dots on its back, the other one had only five, things like that. So this morning, I want to share that love with you, and so I want you to look at the front of your bulletin, if you will. And look at that picture that's on the front of your bulletin. Study it for a few seconds and then see if you can tell me anything that's wrong with that picture. But just put your hand up. Don't shout it out because we want everybody to have a chance to play. But if you see something wrong with that picture, All right, we've had some good ideas, but honestly, they're not it. All right, well, I'm going to let you study it, and I'm sorry to ignore that side of the room, but I am. Okay, well, you keep studying that, and while you're studying that, I want to read something to you. This was given to me about 20 years ago after I was commissioned. This is from the Naval Education and Training Command, Manual 10802-AL, Useful Information for Newly Commissioned Officers. All right? So you just keep looking at that picture. And this is from the section, lest anyone's keeping track, on page 105, Wardroom Etiquette. In large ships, the CO has his own mess, and the executive officer is the president of the wardroom mess. In small ships, the CO is a member of the wardroom mess and is usually president. Officers are assigned permanent seats at the table. They alternate in the order of rank to the right and to the left of the presiding officer, except that the seat opposite the president is occupied by the mess treasurer. Common courtesy and respect require you to be in the mess prior to mealtime so that you may sit down when the president takes his seat. Proper etiquette also requires that officers remain at the table until he rises or until they are excused. Okay, now, what do you see that's wrong with that picture? All right. Let me give you another clue. We often hear Jesus talking about the temple and being outside the temple, turning over the tables in the temple and things like that. Now, the temple was was not simply one building like we have here. It was more of a complex. And so there were walls around it, but then inside those walls were what were called different courts and courtyards and then different buildings and towers. And so when you first entered into the temple, there was the court of the women. Now, this doesn't mean that this court was reserved for women only, but it means that that court was the only court in the temple in which women were allowed. And then past that was the court of the Israelites. And so this is then where Jewish men could come into that court to observe sacrifices and things like that. And then beyond that was the court of the Levites. And in your study Bible, these may be called more formal things or different names, but it's the same idea. And the Levites were the priestly tribe of Israel. And so those were the people then that would offer the sacrifices and those kinds of things. And then beyond that, you have the very inside of the temple, and this is where God lived. And this was covered up by a giant curtain. And each priest would hopefully get the chance at least once in their life to go that far in to offer prayers and whatnot. It was a common belief that upon going behind that curtain, and since that is where God lived, that you might see God, and we're told that anyone who sees God face to face can't behold that glory and that they might die. And so sometimes what they would do is actually tie a rope around the priest's leg so they could at least pull him back out if he doesn't come out on his own. So now, take a look at that picture and tell me what's wrong with it. She's a woman. That's what's wrong with the picture. Is Mary's a woman? See, in those days, men and women would only be seen together in the most public of places. And that was it. And so I was messing with you a little bit because people were saying, well, his foot's missing or he's got long sleeves on one side and short sleeves on the other. And y'all are very creative. That's awesome. But truly, what's wrong with this picture for that period in history is that this is a woman. And that was unacceptable. And you see, there are places where these types of rules and regulations make sense. And I want to be very careful here not to overstep my bounds because, I was a reserve chaplain in the Navy. I was not a line officer. And so, except for the most general of courtesies, I did not even exist on the chain of command. So I don't want to pretend that I know all the ins and outs and workings of the military, but I did learn enough to understand this, and that's that there is a chain of command, and there are people who need to make decisions, and it needs to be very clear who those people are, and if one person can't, who the next person in line is to make that decision. And so it's not only important for that to be laid out on some kind of flow chart that no one will ever look at, but to be laid out in some very real ways. And that goes down to even where people might sit at mealtime, to just make it very clear who's in charge, and if that person is incapable of making a decision, that you go to the next one, and so on and so forth. And so there are places in this world where those types of things make complete sense. But the difference is that in God's kingdom, there's no room for that. I mean, if you want to break it down to a chain of command, there's Jesus and then there's us. And that's it. And you even see when we walk through the gospel and on the day when Jesus is crucified, all the imagery and drama of him being on the cross is one thing, but one thing that always really grips me in the telling of that story is what happens afterwards, where it goes completely dark in the middle of the afternoon, and the earth shakes, and buildings are crumbling a little bit and things like that, and then the curtain that is in the temple is torn in half. And when I read that, it's almost like God saying, "Here I am." And so these constructs that we have put up, they no longer exist. And Jesus is living that out even in this story, because here's a woman sitting at his feet, learning from him much in the same way a man would. And Jesus is saying, "That's okay." Now, oftentimes when we talk about this story, we talk about the sitting and the listening versus the working and the doing. And I think there is a lot of tension there, but it also strikes me that maybe just a part of this is that even Martha, with all of her boldness, all of her candidness, that maybe just a part of this is that she's thinking it's not just about doing the dishes, but Mary is way out of line because she should not be sitting there. That's where men sit. Maybe, just maybe, part of what's going on here is that what Martha is doing is not that she's not sitting down and listening, but that she is getting in the way. She is getting in the way of someone else who wants to listen and wants to hear what he has to say and wants to be close to our Lord. And so maybe, maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, where do we do that? Where do we decide for someone else that you don't belong there? Where do we in our own lives get in the way of someone else who is trying to hear the word of God, someone else who is trying to get closer to our Lord, because we don't think that they belong? That curtain has been torn. That door has been opened. And those walls need to come down. So maybe part of the sin that we need to confess is not so much about we're the ones doing all the work while other people are sitting around listening and not doing anything. Maybe part of the sin that we need to confess is that there are others sitting and listening and we think they have no business doing it. And maybe what we need to do is to get out of the way. Maybe what we need to do is to focus on hearing that word and taking that word into our own lives so that we will see that Jesus has truly stripped away all of that and that he wants all of his children to hear him and to be close to him. There are places in this world where rank and order might have some meaning and might have some function, but the kingdom of God is not one of them. There is Jesus, and there's the rest of us. And it is our job to make sure that we haven't reconstructed any of those walls or any of those courts in our own minds and are therefore now standing in between someone else and the cross. So I pray for each of you this week. I pray for myself that, yes, Lord, leading people closer to you is a wonderful thing, but at the very least, Lord, please don't let me get in the way. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.